නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ Dear friends in Dhamma, so basically we first discussed what we call Brahmajala Sutta, where we discuss certainly about 62 wrong views, and some are with respect to the past, some are related to the future. So likewise, we have discussed several views, and then today we start a new session on a new series on right view. So there the problem arise. So what is the right view that Buddha is mentioning? Because there are altogether 62 views that we feel that not necessary and sort of harmful, and therefore we want to know. So what is the right view? So there's a very good discussion on right view in the Majjhima Nikaya, given by Venerable Sariputta. So that sutta is named as right view, Sammāditti Sutta. So let us discuss that. So in that, actually Venerable Sariputta himself take the topic while Buddha was in the Anathapindika's Jetavarama, that monastery. So Venerable Sariputta has addressed the monks, and he is telling bhikkhus, so we are going to discuss right view. People are saying right view, one is with the right view, one is with the right view. How one can become a person who is with the right view, kind of an unwavering confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived the Dhamma. So how one can become such a person who is with the right view? And then monks actually answer him, telling that we even come from far away to learn this Dhamma from Venerable Sariputta. So therefore it is good if Bhante can explain this to us, so that we will remember it, we will understand it. And then actually Venerable Sariputta explains right view with 16 ways. So that means right view is not just one fixed kind of thing. Rather, in one sense we can have right view in many different ways. On the other hand, right view also an evolving factor. So it is not something kind of a dogmatic sacred statement that is never going to change. Rather, the right view that one may have slowly, slowly evolve, and it is deepening. So the right view one may has at the beginning may further deepen as he continues his practice. So Venerable Sariputta starts with something easy in a way, something we can all understand, and this is very much like the foundation. That is where one needs to understand what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. A noble disciple understand the wholesome and the root of the un what is unwholesome and the root of what is unwholesome, and again what is wholesome and what is the root of wholesome. So this is the basic thing that Venerable Sariputta say, okay, you should know this. This as a statement, this is a kind of a theory. Okay, you should know what is wholesome, you should know what is unwholesome. So there he further mentioned, akusalancha pajanati akusala moolancha, kusalancha pajanati kusala moolancha, akusalancha pajanati. So what is unwholesome? So there he is giving an account of information about what is unwholesome. So these are quite familiar: panatipata, adinnadana, kamesumicchacharo, musavado, then pisunavacha, parusavacha, sampappalapo, abhijja, vyapado, and micchaditti. Starting with the killing living beings, and then taking what is not given, and sexual misconduct, and then false speech, malicious speech, harsh speech, gossip. Those are the Actually, previous three are bodily misconduct, and the other four are verbal misconduct, and then the last three, covetousness, abhijja, ill will, vyapada, and then wrong view, michaditti. So they are the unwholesome deeds, unwholesome activities. It can be either bodily activities, verbal activities, or mental activities. Anyway, they are unwholesome activities. So what is the root, what is the cause for all these unwholesome activities? That is greed, hatred, and delusion. Lobha, dosa, moha. So this has to be very clear regarding the samadhitti. So what is unwholesome? And then he further explains what is wholesome. The opposite is mentioned regarding the wholesome activities. So instead of killing, now we have abstention from killing living beings. This is wholesome. Instead of stealing, taking what is not given, now one abstain from taking what is not given. He abstain from stealing. He abstain from sexual misconduct. So those are the three bodily activities. So they are wholesome. And then verbal good deeds. So they are abstaining from false speech, abstaining from malicious speech, abstention from harsh speech, and abstention from gossip. So they are the verbal good conduct. And then the three wholesome mental conduct, that is where uncovetousness, non-ill will, and right view. And then what is the reason? What are the causes for this kind of a wholesome behavior? That is non-greed, non-hate, and non-delusion. Now these things are quite common and basically the fundamental understanding of many Buddhists. So they should know what is wholesome, they should know what is unwholesome. And again, they should know what are the roots, unwholesome roots, and again the wholesome roots. And then he further mentioned, when a noble disciple has thus understood the unwholesome and the root of the unwholesome, the wholesome and the root of the wholesome, he entirely abandons the underlying tendency to lust. He abolishes the underlying tendency to aversion. He extirpates the underlying tendency to the view and conceit, I am. And by abandoning ignorance and arousing true knowledge, he, here and now, makes an end of suffering. And this is how a noble disciple is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has unwavering confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. So therefore, even though this appear like very fundamental, if one continues slowly, slowly in this path, so his understanding deepens, and he become more and more consistent with the Dhamma, abiding in the Dhamma, and he is going very subtle levels of this understanding. At the beginning, say for example, he simply stopped killing animals. Now he further helps the others, sort of be sympathetic towards the others, and may even give life in the sense, if in case someone is in danger, he is trying to protect him, save him. So likewise, the opposite side is now working. So previously he was killing, but now he is in a way sympathizing, being compassionate, helping. All that is now growing. The positive side is growing. So he has become a good person now. So previously assume that he was stealing, but now he has stopped stealing. Now he even helps to protect someone else's property and never want to cheat, trustworthy. So likewise, his positive side develops in him, and it is happening some in a way gradually. So he's growing in the spiritual side. Actually, this area Buddha too has highlighted in the Mahacattarisaka Sutta. So Mahacattarisaka Sutta is also in the Majjhima Nikaya, where Buddha gave an account of 40 factors. And there, Sammaditti is one important aspect, he explains. And he says samadhi is twofold. The samadhi has two sides in a way. The first samadhi is called what we have already discussed, this the kammasakata samadhi. And the other one is called lokottara samadhi. Kammasakata samadhi he defines basically based on there are certain consequences of what we do. Suppose that you are generous and you want to give something, and there is a benefit, there are results of what is giving. Suppose you are offering maybe a little puja, say you are offering flowers to the Buddha, or you are offering something to someone. So basically this kind of rituals also has some meaning, also has some good results. And there are good things about helping one's mother, father, elders. So atti mata, atti pita. So all that comes under kind of one's good activities. So one is quite generous in one sense. On the other hand, one is quite grateful. And as a result of that, he is helping, taking care of his parents. And he's become a kind of a good person in a way. And then further, he understands there is a present world and there is a future world as well. After my death, there may be a future world, future existence. So he believes in karma, basically. He might not have understood it in as a realization, but he is based on this karma. He recognizes him based on the karma, and therefore he is more concerned about what he do, and basically he doesn't want to do something wrong, unwholesome, but he wants to do something wholesome, something correct. So there's another interesting area. So we don't know whether there is a future world. We don't know whether there is exactly going to be a future birth. We may be believing it as Buddhists, but sometimes people can argue, okay, how are we going to prove that there is future birth, future world? So that is also actually well answered in certain other suttas like Apannaka Sutta. So Buddha say, assume that someone is not believing in the future birth, someone is not believing in karma, so he may be ill behaving now. He is not caring about what he does. So he may be doing something wrong to the body, and he is ill behaving with words, speech, and he is simply allowing the mind to think whatever it likes, and he simply become heedless. Now in case if there is a future birth, now he is in a trouble, because what he has accumulated are all unwholesome activities which are harmful to himself and harmful to others. So as a result of that, in case if there is a future birth, now he is in trouble. He may be reborn in the hell realm. And on the other hand, while he in sort of indulging this kind of a behavior, even in this life, he is going through some kind of a friction, some kind of a burning. There is a resistance coming from the others. So kind of a suffering is there even in this life. But on the other hand, suppose someone still don't understand whether there is future birth is there or not, whether there is future life or not. But anyway, he is trying to behave well. He is not doing something wrong through the body, through the speech, through the mind. So that in this life also, he is going through some calm, peaceful life. Others are also helping, others are also agreeable to him. And he is also living in a way peacefully with the others. So kind of a cordial relationship is maintained. Basically, things are happening smoothly. On the other hand, if there is a kind of a future birth, then he is not in a trouble, because what he has done here is something good, something correct. So he don't need to worry. Because what he has accumulated is the wholesome power, wholesome results. So that's going to be helped when he is having a future birth. So therefore, Buddha recommends here something called Apannaka Patipada. Either you have future birth or not, either you have future life or not, doesn't matter. If you are doing something wholesome, it will bear fruits, or it will be more smooth for you, it will be more comfortable to you, and it will be more convenient to the others as well. So thinking like that, he invites us to do something good, wholesome activities, not the unwholesome activities. So we can think in that line. So one may be continuing one's life in a better way, not exactly because he is quite thoroughly convinced about the future life or a future birth, but he is following this Apannaka Patipada. This is one way of looking at things, so that we can become a good person and we are involved with something correct, something wholesome, and it is good for this life as well as for the future life. So in the Samadhitti, when Buddha is explaining in the Mahachattarisaka Sutta, he is giving various aspects. One aspect is about the generosity. Say, if you have something, then you are able to share it with others. And if you have enough, then you are giving things to the others. Kind of being generous. Helping others. And on the other hand, you are being grateful. So your parents were looking after you, helping you, teaching you, safeguarding you, all that were done. So you are quite grateful. You have a certain gratitude. And you know the responsibilities. You have certain affection. And so you are taking care of them when they may be old or when they are sick. So you are trying to taking care of them and you are trying to help them. So basically a good human being, a character of a good human being. So you are becoming a good person in that sense. You are being grateful. You have certain gratitude. So you are kind, compassionate. And on the other hand, when one has a kind of belief about the next birth or next life, next world, so you are more careful about what you are doing because you know if I am engaged with unwholesome activities, then I have to go through the bitter results of that. If I am going through some good activities, then they may produce good results. So basically, believing in karma and then taking the responsibility of what we do and then continuing as a good person, becoming a good person. So likewise, basically, Buddha recommends here this what we call the Samadhitti, which is still, we can say, kind of mundane type of Samadhitti. Sasava punya bhagya upadi vepakka. He further explains, this type of Samadhitti is wholesome, it may bear fruits in a positive way, but still it has certain amount of fetters. Because you are a person yet, you are an individual and you may often feel as an individual. And when you do something good, you may be happy, probably you may be reflecting it about again and again. So you may be a little uplifting your ego. You being a good person, so this personality is somewhat highlighted. So you being a good person, so there is a certain amount of avijja anusaya, avijja asrava involved. Certain amount of ignorance is involved, so the asavas are there. Sasava. Now, we need to understand, okay, if we immediately say there is no person, there is no self, so Buddha's teaching indicates about non-self, so then it's a kind of a confusing at this level because this person only stepped into the path. So when someone is simply step into the path, we can't simply tell him really high teachings because he is just want to be a moral person, a responsible person, an ethical person. So therefore certain teachings that we come across at higher level after going through a fair amount of vipassana, a thorough understanding about non-self. So these things are possible, but not at the early stage. So first of all, we need to establish ourselves in the wholesome side, be a good person. And now Buddha indicates another level by hinting that there are people who are actually knowing the spiritual path more than myself, more than you, okay, they actually proclaim, they actually preach something higher. They know exactly what is really going on. And they know a kind of a path leading to the freedom of suffering. So there's an indication in the Sammaditti about that also. So then one needs to understand, okay, even though I am now a good person, now I have arrived to the path, but still something more to understand, something more to do. So that is also indicated in the Sammaditti, in the mundane type of Sammaditti, giving some indication towards a good companionship, associating a good person, associating a teacher, because he is more knowledgeable than me, he is more uplifted than me, he is more spiritually developed than me, so he is certainly know more than me. So you have that sort of an attitude being developed at that Sammaditti, mundane type of Sammaditti. And then Buddha discuss about the supramundane Sammaditti. Ariya anasava lokuttara magganga. So Ariya, that means noble. Anasava, free from fetters. Lokuttara, it is supramundane. Magganga, and it has become a path factor. So now we are talking of the supramundane side. So previously we were discussing a mundane, this world, and you being a good person, doing only the wholesome activities as much as possible. So likewise, you did a kind of a change in your life. So once you arrive that, now Buddha mentioned about the supramundane Sammaditti, Ariya Anasava Lokuttara Magganga. And there actually, he is giving a path to develop wisdom particularly. So the supramundane Sammaditti also not a fixed one. So he starts with Panya, then Panya Indriya, then Panya Bala, Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga, and then Sammaditti Magganga. So Panya, so basically the development of wisdom. Now what is this Panya? So this may be at different levels. So you may gather some knowledge by reading, maybe by listening. So this is actually Sammaditti. This is part of Sammaditti because you need some knowledge about the path, knowledge about the Dhamma. This is also actually helping to develop Panya. Sometimes we call it as Sutameyana. We are learning, we are hearing, we are studying. We gather some information, some facts. So we are becoming learned people, knowledgeable people with the Dhamma. That is also part of it. And then Buddha explains about the contemplative type of knowledge, where you do a little bit of analysis, rationalizing, logical thinking into what you have learned, and then your understanding become even thorough. So you are more convinced about the path now. Now that is called the Chintame Panya. Wisdom based on contemplation, analysis, and maybe logical thinking, reasoning. Now further Buddha mentioned about Bhavaname Panya, which is entirely experiential knowledge. Now that is basically completely different from the previous two. Here you are trying to experience what is true. You are trying to learn, you are trying to know by yourself. You are trying to learn by yourself. You are trying to experience by yourself. So this is a kind of a direct touch. It is not something superficial, rather it's a realization. It is going towards the realization. This is quite different. So here you need to understand a kind of a development path, a kind of a practice is necessary to get into this area. So this is in a way a meditative path, where you need to develop mindfulness, so that mind is not distracted towards the past, not distracted towards the future, rather it is now in the present moment. So that is a kind of a must. So here we are not trying to understand things by thinking, rather we have to calm down thinking. We have to, as much as possible, stop thinking. So it is not a kind of a pre knowledge which is based on preconceived idea. Rather, you need to do your own experiment. Like, for in order to continue that experiment, in order to do that investigation, a noble quest, you need certain qualities to be developed first. You develop certain skills. So those skills, we can say mindfulness, because mindfulness help us to establish ourselves in the present moment. Because mind continuously shift towards the past to the future, so then it is difficult. It's a scattered mind, distracted mind. So with such a distracted mind, you can't understand the Buddha's teaching. So what is recommended is a mind which is not distracted. It is capable of be present in the present moment. And there are various phenomena arising in the present moment, and you should be aware of those. In order to know them, in order to investigate them, you have to be utterly present. So mind has to be taken to that. Mind has to be sort of trained to do that. Say, for example, you are now training your mind again and again, again and again, keeping it on a present activity, keeping it on a present phenomena. Say, for example, you are practicing breathing, mindfulness on breathing. So breathing happens in the present moment. Again and again, you are establishing your attention on the breathing. So mind also slowly learns to be in the present moment as a result of that training. Previously, it was distracted, but now it becomes less distracted. Now it is being mindful about the in-breath, mindful about the out-breath. So this is how we are training in this side, in the experiential knowledge. So in the experiential knowledge, in a way, still we are preparing our prerequisites, our skills, which are essential to continue the path. Suppose now you are able to establish mindfulness. Continuously you can experience breathing without being distracted. Say now you can stay 50 breaths continuously, 100 breaths continuously, 150 breaths continuously, 200 breaths continuously. Now this is a training. So in this training, now assume that you are able to maintain your attention continuously on 200 breaths. That actually indicate not only mindfulness now. Now there is another factor being developed, that is called samadhi, the concentration. Now mind is concentrated. It is somewhat collected. Previously it was scattered. Now it is fairly collected. Now it can focus on the object. It can keep attention on the given subtle breath. Previously it was scattered, but now it is well focused, fairly one-pointed. So now one-pointedness of the mind is also there. Other than the mindfulness, now one-pointedness or the concentration is also there. Now it can maintain its attention continuously, consistently, for a fair amount of time on that particular given object. Now that skill also is required, and on top of that, the effort has to be balanced. Now this process is not easy in a way. There are various obstacles in the path, so you may fall asleep while you are doing this, because we are reducing thinking, we are reducing distractions, we are reducing excitations. So the easily mind feel lethargic, and it may feel lazy and drowsy, and ultimately it may fall asleep. Now you need to train yourself how, without agitation, without an excitement, how to keep the mind awake. This is a training. Now in this training, now assume now you are able to do it successfully. You are able to keep attention on breathing continuously without falling asleep. And again, there may be various visualizations time to time happen. That is also not the path. Those may be very beautiful sights, beautiful sounds, attractive sights. You need to abandon them. Again, you need to take it back to the breathing, which is more neutral. So this is also another kind of a challenge, because breathing is more neutral, it is not so attractive. But there are various visions time to time appear in your mind. Those may be very attractive, but you need to remember not to promote that, rather to ignore that and come back to the breathing. So these sanya, different perceptions, different visions, are in a way cheating, in a way delusive, and you need to abandon them. So that's another bottleneck, another kind of a obstacle. And of course, thinking also has to be abandoned, inner chatter has to be stopped. So mind has to be completely calm, quiet. And as you are keeping your attention on present moment phenomena, you need to balance the effort also. Now basically, we are now talking about faculties. These are called faculties. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. Saddha is the faith. So that's why we have the faith. That's why we are trying hard to develop these qualities, skills. Virya, effort is there. That's why you are continuously doing this practice, even though it is hard, difficult. And Sati, the mindfulness, is now we are developing again and again, establishing mindfulness on various present moment phenomena. And concentration also now we are developing, so that mind remain calm, quiet, and one-pointed, concentrated. And now we have the capacity to develop Panya, the faculty of Panya, the wisdom. So how we are developing Panya here is not by looking at a book. Rather, we are using these developed qualities to basically penetrate the present phenomena. What exactly is going on in this present phenomena? What is their true nature? What is their true characteristics? So it's a kind of a thorough penetrative knowledge now we are developing. So this Panya is quite different. So this we can say Nibbedika Panya, kind of penetrative knowledge. So different present moment phenomena are there. You are keeping your attention onto those present moment phenomena. And now you are able to penetrate those phenomena and know their true nature, know their true behavior. Not through a physical apparatus, but using your developed faculties. So maybe, say for example, if we are talking about the breath, now rather than superficially touch the breath, you know exactly what are the characteristics of breathing. So when in-breath is compared with the out-breath, there may be certain differences. In-breath may be cooler, out-breath may be warmer. In-breath may be longer, out-breath may be shorter. Or in-breath may be shorter, out-breath may be longer. In-breath may be having some sort of touching characteristics, touching in the sense sensations. And out-breath also touching at some other places. That touch sensation has a characteristics of coming and going, arising and passing away, changing. This warmth, cool behavior also has arising and passing away as its characteristics. Now we are going more and more subtle analysis, or we can say subtle examination of these different characteristics. Now we are understanding their true nature. On the other hand, say you are keeping your attention on the bodily phenomena. Different bodily sensations are there, what we call as elements characteristics. Hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness. So those are the earth characteristics. And then fluidity, cohesion. So they are the water characteristics. And then vibrations, movements. So they are the air characteristics. And heat and cold are the heat characteristics. Tejo dhatu lakkhana. Now these are very fundamental primary type of characteristics, so your mind needs to go to that level to understand these more fundamental characteristics. By understanding that, you are trying to observe them, and through this unbiased observation you are trying to know their true behavior. Without putting your own ideas, without your putting your own preconceived ideas, you are maintaining a very unbiased, non-judgmental attitude towards all these different phenomena, so that you are able to understand them by yourself. So it's an experimental knowledge in a way, experiential knowledge. It's a direct knowledge. It's not something that you brought from someone, borrowed from someone. Rather, it is some knowledge that you are developing by direct experience, direct investigation. So this is Panya, Samadhiti, one part of Samadhiti. And then Buddha say, okay, about Panya, Bala. where that knowledge further and further developed, and you are able to penetratively look at things, and now this knowledge is available even at other times, not only in the meditation session. Your mind has the kind of penetrative capacity. Even in a mundane situation, mundane problem, life problem, you can look at from different angles, more than the others, because you have this capacity. And certain qualities like observing things without participating to them, without being biased on a particular situation, and looking at it in a more deeper way, neglecting the surface appearance, going more deep. So these are certain skills you develop, and as you are developing certain confidence about your practice. And now when you arrive the Panya Bala, so that is where you are quite confident about your practice, and about the wisdom now you have fairly developed. As a result of that, even sometimes mind going back to the surface and going back to this conventional type of things, because of its old past habit, still you are not wavering. You know exactly I can take it back. I can re-establish myself in the correct path. You are so confident about your skill now. So that is where the Panya Bala, where even when mind behaves in an ignorant way, you are not shocked about it. You are not wavering about it. You are not panicking about it, because you know I have developed my path. I know exactly what to do. I can easily put the mind into the correct track without much trouble. So you have that confidence. So that is where the Panya Bala comes to the picture. And into the next level, Buddha say about Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga. So that is where you are turning towards the Nibbana in a way. So rather than developing these qualities for mundane gain and fame and those kind of other mundane fruits, you are now developing these qualities for calming down the mind, relaxing the mind, overcoming defilements, purifying the mind, making the mind more peaceful. Now you are turning towards Nibbana rather than mundane achievements, showing off, or developing conceit or that kind of thing. Rather, you are now developing these qualities to recognize subtle defilements. Defilements are the ones causing more trouble. So you are trying to recognize their roots, their causes, their behavior, so that your mind being further and further purified. So once it comes to the Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga, so you are more into this proper understanding, correct understanding, which is aligned with the understanding. Bojjhanga, so that means Bodhaya Sangvattati. So your practice is now more attuned towards realization. Now, this is how Buddha explains gradually about the supramundane kind of samadhitti. And you can see it is also a path, it is also a practice. It is not a kind of a dogmatic statement. You have to gradually develop it. You can't immediately have Panya Bala unless you go through Panya Indriya. You can't have immediately Sammaditti as a path factor without you going through all these different stages. So therefore, this kind of a gradual development of the path is in a way highlighted. And in that Mahachattarisa Sutta, so Buddha further highlights this Sammaditti actually become the forerunner of this whole practice. At first, we establish ourselves thinking about the karma, being responsible about our activities. Now you are more concerned about it. And as a result of that, all our bodily activities, all our verbal activities, all our mental activities are streamlined according to that vision. Samadhitti Pubbangama. So Samadhitti is basically the guiding principle. We are being guided. Our all bodily, verbal, mental activities are well guided. Samadhi Pubbangama. And therefore, Buddha prays about the Samadhi at various other suttas, telling this is a kind of a must, where we need to have a kind of a vision, kind of a path, kind of an understanding, what is good, what is wrong, what is correct, what is wrong, what is wholesome, what is unwholesome. Accordingly, you are sort of streamlining about your life activities. And further, Yoniso Manasikara and Parato Gosa are another two sides. So Buddha say, how you gain this understanding, maybe through a good friend, through a good person. You are learning from him. You heard it from his words, Parato Gosa. Or you may be able to wisely reflect, going towards the reasons, going towards the causes, rather than being in superficial touch, you're going more deeply into the causes, the roots. Yoniso Manasikara is another side which is helpful to develop Samadhi. So likewise, Buddha particularly highlight about the its leading capacity of Samadhi. That is the one guiding us, that is the one leading us in the correct path. And further, once it comes to Sammaditti, Samma Vayama and Samma Sati also plays a very supportive role. All the path factors, particularly the first several path factors, are being supported by Sammaditti, Samma Vayama and Samma Sati. Say for example, you get to know what is Samma Vacha. So the correct speech, we already learned. So correct speech is abstaining from false speech, abstaining from divisive speech, abstaining from harsh speech, and abstaining from gossiping. Now there may be an opportunity for us to lie at that time. So you should know what is a lie and what is the truth. So that is an understanding. So that is Samadhi. And you should know, okay, I should only talk truth, abandoning this lies. So that's a kind of an understanding. That's a Samadhi. But in order to do that, you have to be mindful. Because immediately if you start telling something without much concern, you are impulsively reacting, then you may be lying. So in order to know the situation properly, in a more unbiased, healthy manner, you need to have the presence of mind. So the Samma Sati is essential there. Now Samma Vayama, the effort is necessary to stop telling lies and only to tell the truth. That is also difficult because it may sort of the situation may be a little difficult situation. You also might get troubled, but still you are exerting fair amount of effort to tell the truth, not to tell the lies. So likewise, at a given moment, whenever we are developing the path, Samma Vayama, Samma Sati and Samma Ditti. So Samma Ditti is the guiding principle. We know exactly what to do, what is Samma Vacha and what is Michcha Vacha. You know the difference as a theory. Now you need to implement it. In order to implement, you need to have an effort and the presence of the mind. So Samma Ditti Pubbangama, it is the guiding principle. It is being supported by Samma Vayama and Samma Sati. So I think that is enough for today. So basically, so this is how Venerable Sariputta starts the whole process, explaining us what is wholesome and what is unwholesome and their roots. And then Buddha also at other suttas giving some same kind of teachings, Samma Ditti in the mundane side and again in the supramundane side. And we learn further in the Samma Ditti Sutta what other areas where Venerable Sariputta highlights, so that one can further establish, further mature in the Samadhi. With that, I'll conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I'd like to open the session for questions. Seems no questions today. All are having Samadhi. Venerable Dhamma Vijita, you have any question?
No,
no? Okay, good. Priyanka, I think you also haven't received any questions.
Yes, Bhante, I didn't receive any questions.
Then actually today's teaching is more informative, and again all don't have any doubt about things, so what is mentioned is also quite clear and well known to all of us. It's maybe obvious that we don't have much questions, and then if there are no questions, probably we can wind up the session. We'll again actually we are continuing a retreat at Nisarnoniya. If you like, you can join that also at 1 p.m. the question and answer session, and at 4 p.m. there is a Dhamma sermon. This retreat is in English medium, so you all can join that as well. Okay, then with that notice, I'll conclude today's sutta teaching session. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sambe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sambe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sambe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasatthaca bummatta devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasatthaca bummatta devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasatthaca bummatta devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mamparam. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.